Attention broadcasters in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
You're all fired.
Sweet bongo of the Congo.
In fact, you were fired 2 years ago. That's when we were shut down by the delivery network. Yes, I'm afraid the brainless drones who run the network canceled our license.
We were canceled?
Oh, it's terrible, just terrible. Well, clear out your desks and move along. Chop, chop. Yes? I see. Good news, everyone! Those asinine morons who canceled us were themselves fired for incompetence. And not just fired, but beaten up, too. And pretty badly. In fact, most of them died from their injuries. And then they were ground up into a fine pink powder.
Why?
Oh, it's got a million and one uses. Ah, that soothes the fire.
So what does this mean for us and our many fans?
It means we're back on the air.
This is the place where I normally say, it's 2 minutes after the hour of... No. It is 17 minutes after the hour of one in this June 21st. In the year of our Lord, 2010. Thank you for joining us today. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program, Excursion into Whimsy. We are broadcasting live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Emerson News Network, looming high above the milk packing district in beautiful southeast Portland. Thank you for joining us. I am Rick Emerson alongside Ms. Dawn Taylor.
Hello.
Hello, Dawn Taylor. How are you today?
Now I'm great.
You know, there was this thing that I said yesterday, and then before we went on the air again, because we just wrapped up Legion of News, which happened over at PDX.fm. And I said, and this is true, but that's no excuse. I shouldn't have said it anyway. I said, you know, I've never had one show that launched smoothly. There's never been a show that went on the air the first day where everything worked. And in fact, as Thomas Gill, I think, said to you in a text or in an email, he was like, it was working fine just a second ago. Oh, for the love of... So the feed for this show has been running nonstop for like 36 hours. I think without incident, I mean, more or less. It has been running more or less with flawless precision. And that was the case up until about 2 minutes after 1 o'clock. When suddenly there was less precision and more sort of a thing happening there. So, in any event, thank you for joining us today, and draw near that ye might be amused, entertained, informed, and made a more worthy and whole person. We are here in beautiful southeast Portland, and we have a phone number here. My wife sent me a text message saying, you should tell people you're taking phone calls. We will be taking your telephone calls. And we will be endeavoring to inks online at rickemerson.com. If you go to rickemerson.com or if you use the Meebo chat server, we are there as Rick Emerson Show. That's at rickemerson.com. We are there as Rick Emerson Show. Or you can call us if you'd like. Dawn, do I dare give out the phone number now?
Oh, why not? We're actually broadcasting, so that's better than we were doing 5 minutes ago.
Seriously, it was worse. I had this thing... I'm sorry, should I sweeten your mic?
Please sweeten my mic.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You know, I had this thing that was running all weekend long up until 1:02, and it was a little thing of our voice guy, Cable Hashitani, just saying, the Rick Emerson Show begins at 1. And then I was like, okay, here we go. Good news, everyone, here we go. And I get ready to... And I hit it. It's like I hit the start button, and the whole computer made kind of a... And then it just stopped. And it just
stopped. It was that rawr, rawr, rawr noise that, like, when you're trying to start the engine and it just won't go.
It was like the show Solenoid went out for you guys in the audience. Am I right? Huh? Solenoid? Yeah. And then it just stopped working. So here we are, better late than never. But you know why, Don? It's because we're pioneers. Not unlike the Mormons as they cross the Wasatch Mountains looking only for their birthright. And
it's like one of our giant wagon wheels just fell off as we were heading down the trail.
I have to say the Legion of News went.
It went.
Competently. We executed that with the bare minimum of adequacy that is the hallmark of the Rick Emerson Show. Greg Nibbler is here. Greg Nibbler is on the other side of the door of the studio. He's been monitoring the feed and helping us out with some things, which basically consists of him going, no, it's not working yet. No, I'm sorry. No, you got nothing.
Meanwhile, I have all of the little text boxes popping up of people going, I don't hear anything. If you think you're on the air, you're not. Hey. And, of course, people just going, fail, fail.
Well done. How's your $6.99 taste now, silence boy? All right. The Rick Emerson radio program version 8.0 is here, and we are pleased to hear from you. If you'd like to email, you can do that. It's rick@rickemerson.com. I guess I should actually open my email program. Hold on a second. Let me open said email box. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Do you have a Rick Emerson address? Is it actually dawn@rickemerson.com?
You said I could have one, but I don't know if it was ever set up.
Hey, look at that right there. If you think you're on the air, you're not. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. Thank you for helping us out. All right. I'll hook you up with a dawn@rickemerson.
Right. Thank you.
It is 503-505. I almost immediately regret this. 503-505-6964, if you would like to join us today. 503-505-6964, if you would like to be part of the Rick Emerson radio program. That is our telephone number, and we will use that to interact with you, the faithful millions.
Hellbent just says, not bad so far.
Great, thanks. Oh, God. Somebody's calling already. Do I even want to answer this?
You gave the phone number.
You know, that's no...
You just brought it on yourself.
Hold on a second. Let me just... Oh, wait. Thank you so much. No, as soon as I turned off the music and went to answer it, you hung up. Thank you. I appreciate... Some things never change. Oh, God. I just regret this immediately. I was sitting at home being able to scratch myself whenever I wanted. I didn't have to put on pants for days at a time. I'm sorry.
You could just rent DVDs of canceled TV shows.
Don, I'm speaking to the people of Portland.
Just
step on the people. They're trying to interact with us.
Oh, are they?
Hello, hello, Rick Emerson Show. Oh, I'm sorry. Hello, hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey.
Hi.
I just wanted to be the first person to come by and say hi. Welcome back. We're glad to have you.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, Don, how are you doing?
I'm sorry, what?
What's that?
When the people speak to you, Don, you can sometimes respond back to them, and then they know that you care.
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I didn't really have anything to say other than...
No, of course not.
Welcome. Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to call
in. My $6.99 is going far.
Thank you. You know, the $6.99, I think I blew on an acid in the first 15 minutes this morning when nothing, or this afternoon, when nothing really seemed to work properly. So let me just ask you... I can't believe that I am now, perhaps for the first time in 10 years, asking this sincerely. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks so much. All right, there was just a little pause there. What is your name, my friend?
This is Mark.
Hello, Mark, and how are you on this? Are you calling? Are you listening in Portland?
It's Walton, but yeah.
Are you at work? Are you at home? What are you doing with your life at this very moment, sir?
I am fun employed, actually.
Excellent.
Intern at PDXFM, but I haven't been in there for a while, so not really sure.
I know who you are.
Is this a known person to you, Don? Is this?
He's actually been to my house. I sold him chocolate, and he picked them up.
All right, then. Well, thank you for being the inaugural caller, sir. I wish I had Nickelback tickets to give you, but sadly, that time has passed. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
That went
so
over
much.
Well. Jesus. You said Nickelback, and it just hurt him. I think.
God damn it! Some things don't ever alter, no matter how many iterations of the show. For example, I do have to say actually that the first call, as Don Geronimo would say, the first call always sets the tone for everything. So the first guy could actually hear us, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he was actually able to hear us. He was able to, and I know that I'm acting, like somebody, he was levitating in front of me or something, or like they've just appeared out of the sky and told me that the great god Zool was going to beam me to his planet. Because you're thinking, well, god damn, it's just a phone. Here's the thing, it's not just a phone. It's a phone over the intertron, And that is brand new. Let me just tell you this. It's 1:23 in the afternoon when we are doing this broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show via rickemerson.com, an expedition into genius. I didn't have this phone installed on my computer until 5 o'clock this morning. 5 o'clock this morning, at which time, by the way, I had not yet been to bed. The rest had not yet come to me because I was up laboring over every aspect of this program to try to make it amusing for people. I will let you all decide whether or not that paid the appropriate dividends. But make a note of this if you want. It's 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964 if you would like to join today's broadcast in some way. And I say that realizing that you said that, you know, these aren't going to have to go through Richie Bristol, you know, or Scotty or some such screening the calls. Which I suppose we'll find out is a bit of a double-edged sword. Before we do anything, and we do have stuff to actually get to today, the first show won't just be a whole lot of, like, by God, tell me how fantastic it is that the show is back. It will
not
largely
that,
be that.
That wouldn't be enough.
No, don't get me
just
wrong.
There.
That's going to be probably 80% of the show's content. There will be some actual things that we get to. We have a top five we're going to roll out later on today. We have an installment of a brand-new segment, which is the Rick Emerson Show's Pop Culture Authority. We'll be getting to that. We have some news updates with Don Taylor. I should give you a preview, a little bit of an overview as to what else is going to be coming up later on in the week. I'll work backward from Friday. On Friday, Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler, who we are actually sharing a studio with, they're going to be joining us on the show on Friday. I have not yet spoken with Tim Riley. I imagine that I will offer him a chance to come on the show, and then he will say, he will politely thank me, and then he will...
That's not going to get old.
And then he will decline. But Sarah and Greg will be joining us on Friday, perhaps Tim Riley as well. And we will sort of give a recap of everything that went down, as they say, with the last iteration of the program. Because that has become a tradition only slightly younger than the actual firings themselves, or the discussing the firings and giving the sort of recap and how everything happened. Mr. David Walker will be joining us later on in the week, as well as Christy Turnquist from the Oregonian. Will be here. I meant to rack up our True Blood sound effects for today, but here's the thing: I haven't even watched last night's episode of True Blood. So busy was I trying to watch...
Nazi werewolves.
You
missed the Nazi werewolves.
You see, you're making that up, because no one would put that on television, Don, because that would be absurd. So I haven't even watched last week's episode of True Blood, because I was busy trying to get the program on the air. So I just finished last week's episode of True Blood, like this morning, like 7 a.m. or something. So I have yet to watch last night. So I will get your thoughts and observations on that, Don, as we plunge on ahead. It is 503-505-6964. Before we do anything else... And we did this kind of, I wonder if Greg is listening in the kitchen, and I wonder if I can now be this guy. I wonder if I can ask Greg to bring me a beverage from the refrigerator. That used to work when he actually was employed by the show at CBS. Let's see if it works now. Hold on a second. Hey, Greg Nibbler, I was wondering if you could go to the fridge and bring me a beverage. I have some Vizo Dynamo that's in the fridge. If you'd bring that to me, that'd be ever so swell. It doesn't seem to be... hello, Greg. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Hi. Hey. Hey, you know, it's funny you appeared, because just now I was asking if you would get me something from the fridge.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
How do you feel about doing that?
I have a little bit of deja vu with that one.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to work out. We're a little bit out of stuff in there.
Really? Are you screwing with me?
No. What do you want?
I should have a Vizo Dynamo in there. Oh, don't... All right. I think that was a little bit of passive sass is what that was. I think someone is asserting his newfound independence.
Well,
I for one don't care for
it. He does have his own fancy pants show, you know, over there on PDX FM.
It is true.
They're on their own thing.
No, we're in the same studio.
I don't know what
this job right now.
Hey, hello, Don's husband Patrick has arrived with a can of Vizo Dynamite.
Well, that was unexpected.
That's
he brought
excellent.
Me a giant
thank
sandwich.
You. All right, thank you so
well,
much.
Well, here,
that's
would you
awesome.
Like would you like the peanut butter and cheese or not whatever that is? Bologna and cheese sandwich I made for myself. Why, thank you.
You know, people, have paid for this, so maybe the lunch trade show can happen can happen later on. That could be a weekend show,
it'd
perhaps.
It'd be a special segment, yes. The lunch trade. All right. Now, I have he brought me a giant Big Ass Sandwich. Apparently, he was at Big Ass Sandwiches.
Excellent. And, Big Ass Sandwiches, our good friend Lisa Wood and her husband Brian. They run that downtown. All right, excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Greg. All right, that's the last time I'll ask you to get me something.
Yeah.
All right.
And hopefully that's the last time my husband will just show up in the middle of the show with a sandwich.
Here's the thing you need to learn about spouses and shows.
I was not expecting that, honestly.
I know that it feels like we're just all over the map right out of the gate, but let's be honest. If I was not all over the map, you would feel that you've been horked out of your $7. You may, in fact, feel that way now, and all I can say is that it's between you and the God of your understanding. So what we're going to do is this. I'm going to make this one final observation. We will do a news segment here in just a moment, Don. And then we're just going to do a little bit of a recap about how it is we came to be here, how it is that Don and I came to be doing the show, and what you can expect from this iteration of the program. So by my clock, and this is just my estimate, I have whiled away now 12 minutes really just leading up to Greg getting me a soda, followed by chastising you for looking at your lunch. So that has set the appropriate tone, I believe. In just a moment, though, we will take some more calls. We'll talk about what this version of the program is going to hold for you and how it came to be in existence right now. You are listening to The Rick Emerson Show, version 8.0 at rickemerson.com. And without further ado...
And now, from the news desk, this is Don Taylor.
A man who was trapped in his basement for 3 days severed 90% of his own arm in an opportunity to escape from said trapped basement.
Is this a story we just did on
Legion
of News? Do I have to pretend that I haven't heard it, or am I supposed to come up with brand new glib witticisms for this?
We'll just cover it really quick. Guy cut off his own arm.
All right, hold on a second. Let me try this one more time. I was going to try to call. Okay, here's the question I have. Because now that we have the phone enabled, I was waiting to unveil the phone number for this show. I didn't want to make it seem like I was holding out. Here's a little secret, because you all are paying to listen to this. So you get to one of the things you buy with your $7 is total honesty from me, Rick Emerson. We had the phone enabled all the way through Legion of News, but we only had an hour there, and I knew that if it's just on the phone lines, then it just becomes a whole lot of people calling up and asking for Hugh Jass or something. So. I waited also because I figured that, that's kind of a neat deal that, because it wasn't too long ago in the Intertron radio world that if you wanted to interact with people, it was just via like text and, the electrons on the screen and so forth. So now we've got the phone. So I figured that was a thing that was best revealed right now. Mm. Now that the phone is enabled and you were just referencing that story again, which is the guy caught underneath the thing for 3 hours and they had to cut his arm.
Three days.
And then he had to cut his arm off or something.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to know, and again, our phone number, which I will get put up on the website at some point today, our phone number is 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964. Now, when I say that, here's what I want. I want an accurate explanation of this. When the guy says that he cut 90% of the way through his arm, is that 90%? I mean, I know you weren't there or anything, and you're not Quincy MD, probably, but is that 90% of the arm in total, or is that just like everything but the bone? In other words, does the 90% just mean the actual arm part and not the bone? Hello, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program, sir or madam, as the case may be. Why, hello.
Oh, hello, is this me?
Yes.
I don't even know if you're effing with me. Yes, it is you, sir. Hello, and how are you today?
Outstanding. I apologize. It's a little different than calling up the show originally. It's a little fuzzy, so sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. On the other hand, there isn't a drunken Vietnamese man waiting on the other line to have transsexual phone relations with you. So, that's one way I can call him.
That's very true. Anyways, your question about the 90% thing.
Yeah.
Do you remember a couple of years ago the guy that got his arm stuck between a boulder and a cliff and had to cut his own arm off?
I do. I think they then did like a little, a biopic or a docudrama of something on the Discovery Channel.
That's correct. But what he actually had to do was, without being graphic, in his own words, he cut through the flesh. He had a dull knife and couldn't get the bone cut. So he kind of had to wiggle it and snap it.
There's nothing good.
Yes.
That sentence never follows anything that you wish to happen to you. Let me ask you.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Let me ask you this: what is it? What is the nature of your work, sir? What do you do for a living?
Unemployed.
Oh, I gotta quit asking that. That's the thing that they drill into you when you're, you know, a young DJ. Ask people what they do for a living. It's relatable.
Well, before, up until a couple of months ago, I was working for Apple Computers out of Portland. But my girlfriend and I decided to get serious, and I moved to Seattle.
All right.
So I'm unemployed while we get our house stuff going here.
All right. So let me ask you this, though. If you were just to be pinned between a thing and another thing at some point today, like if you were just, you're like, I want to go on the Safeway or something, and then, hey, I lean over to get some milk, and oh, my God, my arm is pinned in here. Would you have on your person, do you think, sufficient tools to just be cutting through your arm to get yourself out?
Well, depending on if the, like this guy, the toolbox was handy, I probably would, but I don't know if I could go through with that or not unless it was 3 days later.
Here's another question I have. Now, you may not have the answer to this, and at a certain point, if you did have the answers, it becomes officially disturbing. So, I mean, it's, you know, however you choose to answer is up to you. When the guy talks about cutting through the bone, if he's not going to go that, what you call it, the quote, wiggle and snap method of the Discovery guy, if a guy is going to be cutting through bone, is like, would your average saw or bladed instrument that you have in your toolbox cut through human bone?
If it's in good repair and sharp enough, I don't see why not. A hacksaw could do that. If you're my girlfriend, she has a pruning saw in the toolbox at all times, and I don't even want to contemplate that.
The pruning saw, like you take limbs off with, so to speak.
Yeah, so to speak, right. Sure.
Excellent.
There is such a thing as a bone saw that surgeons use, and it looks kind of like a, it's kind of like a huge Dremel tool.
There's two things. There's that, but the actual hand saw that they use disturbingly looks like a cross between a pruning saw and a hacksaw.
Hmm.
I wonder often if the bone saw is just sort of a regular saw that they stick a different label on. You know what I mean? You know, it's like the, you know, it's like if you look at this, let me just say this. If you look at the SkyMall catalog, here's the thing I've noticed.
They have bone saws in the SkyMall catalog?
There's a bone saw in the SkyMall catalog?
Yeah, that's only when you're flying Air Florida. The
is that going to be the newest thing that's going to be gracing the Emerson kitchen?
Pardon me, stewardess, I need an extra bag of lye. Thank you. And a pillow. And a gun. You know, the thing I've noticed in the SkyMall catalog, and I'm not passing judgment on SkyMall. I mean, this is just a statement of fact. I love the SkyMall catalog. But they sell two items in the SkyMall catalog. One is a hair, you know, like a hair trimmer, like if your mom's going to be giving you a haircut at home, like the clippers. The other thing is a set of clippers for your dog. They're exactly the goddamn same item. They're exactly the same. And I don't mean exactly the same,
yes,
like
they're
similar. Like, it's the same thing. But they stick the dog clippers in a box that says dog, and they charge you like $9 more. So I think the bone saw might be the same thing. All right.
John from Gresham says in the text box, from what I remember from the story, the guy was able to get through the meat pretty easily. However, cutting through the bundle of nerves was just a tad rough.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for calling. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go. Our phone number. Hold on a second, Don.
Okay.
Why, hello, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Who might this be?
Hey, Rick. It's Rick.
I'm going to skip the obvious joke about Linda Lavin and her sister in the line down the middle of the screen. What's up, sir? How can I help you today?
Hey, that guy in Utah who trapped his arm, it was actually all documented in the book, and I'm not making this up, Between a Rock and a Hard Place.
Well, that's like,
I wish I have, and I'll drop it off for you. That's fine. But the pictures are grotesque.
Between a Rock and a Hard Place. It's like you see that joke coming, but you just have to stand there and take it. There's nothing you can do about it. How thick is the book? This is the guy in Utah where he got his arm caught between a boulder and a hard place, and he had to cut his arm out to survive. How long is the book? How many pages?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say it's about 200 pages. A lot of it is disturbing because he was stuck in the desert drinking urine for days.
So I just had a mouthful of beverage right when he said drinking urine for days. The thing about that guy and that book is you got to ask yourself, what is the? Can you possibly spend 200 pages talking about, you'll forgive me, the meat of the story? You got to wonder, does he do that whole thing of like, well, I was born in Steubenville. As a boy, I liked hats a lot, many, Many hats found their way into my home, especially those with feathers or dots. And then later on, a cut through my own arm. Then I went back to hat collecting. I always wonder when there's a book that is predicated on a very hyper-specific event like that, if they just have, like, generic filler at the publishing house that they go to somewhere, and they just, you know, it's like the brown stuff and the Lucky Charms. They just fill out the rest of the book or whatever with it. All right. He was drinking urine, presumably his own.
Yes, he was. And it goes into graphic detail about how the urine gets progressively worse to drink because he's just recycling. It's horrible.
It's like when you put the same coffee to the, you know, the filter, you know, over.
Yeah,
over
exactly, right. Exactly. Right. Hey, and I'll drop it off by the, whatever, the milk packing studios.
Awesome. I was going to say I'll put you on hold and Richie will get you that information, but that would be a lie. Check the website. We'll have a physical mailing address there for you.
Hey, you, I want to be the first one to say.
Oh, Dick. Son of a bitch. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Oh, hi, Rick.
Hello, it's
me?
You. Yes, it is. It's you, sir.
Oh, this is Dan from New Zealand.
Dan from New Zealand? The actual D from NZ?
Correct, yes.
All right. Here's the thing about Dan from New Zealand. A, he's from New Zealand, so I had a win just for that. B, last night... Cheryl, Dawn, will you remind me, and you're going to get to do this a lot, by the way, as your life progresses now, will you remind me to do the official big list of everybody we got to thank for this, up to and including Thomas, Seamus, Cheryl, everybody, Bridget, Tim Oakley, everybody who's, like, helped us put all this together. We were here really, really late last night. Don Taylor was here. Our chief of staff, Cheryl Kanakoa, was here. We were just getting everything ready. Not that it helped us get on the air correctly at 1 o'clock, you understand. But we were processing, and by we, I mean Cheryl, while I watched, was processing all of the email addresses from people that had subscribed to the show. God bless them all. And she noted that we actually have, I think, two listeners from New Zealand. And here's how we got to that. She said... we have a listener from New Zealand who just subscribed. And I said, wait, is that Dan? And I realized what a weird life I have and just how odd my brain is wired that when she said New Zealand, I not only thought of your name, but I saw your email address and I actually pictured, like, your signature file or whatever it is. But then it wasn't you. It was like Jack from New Zealand. So now there's two of you. So you have to find the other guy and do what needs to be done.
Oh, wow. I can wear the AM970 shirt that you gave me. Around.
This is now. Was this when you walked through the studio and I gave you a variety of candies and treats?
No, I think that was someone else.
Wait,
this
what
was
am I
from the?
let me back up here. I'm confusing my foreign accents. You have visited the studio, though, have you not?
I have not been to the studio. No.
Who am I thinking of? Am I thinking of Jack from New Zealand? This
or
is so
the
embarrassing.
Guy from Australia?
I'm just I don't want to think that I'm that guy though.
Luke from Australia.
Do you hate it when people
not the Australians?
Do you hate Americans when they confuse Australia and New Zealand and whatever?
Yes, we do.
Awesome. Did we send you a shirt? How is it that you got the shirt?
It was for the horns across the Hawthorne thing, and then we went to a bar, one of the bars. And I hassled you for
that's
a free shirt.
That's right. It was at Dante's. I totally...
Yes.
Okay, that...
Yes.
Okay, see, you sons of bitches, it's not like I'm just confusing, not like they all sound alike to me.
Even, one of the listeners is suggesting that you're confusing him with the girl from Puerto Rico.
No, I'm not confusing him with the girl from Puerto Rico, whose name is Sarah, by the way. I usually keep these things very clearly delineated in my mind, but you would have to admit, to the untrained Yankee ear, there's a little bit of a similarity in terms of cadence and accent. And also, I have a tiny brain, so, you know.
I suppose that's like Canadians and Americans sound the same, right?
Exactly. That's the thing. Canadians just sound like, you know what Canadians sound like? Canadians all sound like if all of America were on the chess team. That's what Canadians sound like. So,
I gotta go. I'm just walking into work at the moment.
Thank you for being the first non-continental United States caller, sir.
No problem.
All right.
Cheers.
Thank you, my friend. All right, there you go. That's Dan in New Zealand.
A couple of people have suggested that we can, I guess you can somehow turn off the sounds for the Skype.
Yeah, well, if only I knew, thank you, people are just now typing the word bleep to me. Thanks so much. You know, it's, I'm working it out here. This is a bit of a thing. Have I played the news open?
No, you haven't.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Rick Emerson Show, version 8.0. Let's do. I'll do this. We'll do a couple of those, and then we'll talk about how we got here and Quo Vadimus, Rick Emerson. Without further ado.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
Armed bandits abducted and robbed Party of Five star Jeremy Lyndon last week and forced him to smoke drugs during a harrowing five-hour ordeal in Palm Springs, California. Lyndon, 37, was attempting to change a flat tire on his vehicle when two men stopped to help him outside the Bahama Hotel and Apartments. Sergeant Steve Douglas from the Palm Springs Police Department said that Lyndon, who played Griffin Holbrook on the Fox series Party of Five, and Chandler Hampton on Seventh Heaven, was taken by the kidnappers and driven around in his own vehicle while they terrorized him at gunpoint. Somehow his son Lyndon managed to escape them at 3 o'clock the next morning. He told officers that during the kidnapping he was forced to smoke dope and then purchase booze and hand it out in a gang area of Palm Springs.
Hand it out. You don't ever want to be handed out by one group of guys to another group of guys, because that's just going to end with a lot of cotton being jammed somewhere sensitive. I'm not saying he's making this story up, but he is completely making this story up. There is no way. No one forces you to smoke crack, ever.
Well, particularly since in April.
Unless they're going to turn you out as a whore, which may have been the plan.
Well, last September, he was in rehab to face his battle with prescription pills.
Color me a little bit skeptical that a guy who got out of rehab had to be, quote, forced into smoking crack. What would be the possible upside, unless they were going to then keep him in their basement and just sell him the crack? That's like a growing-your-own-customer-base kind of a thing at that point.
Why would you just give drugs away like that?
And if you know anything about people who take drugs, not that Dawn knows anything about that.
No.
Not that in any way. You've never smoked crack.
Smoked crack?
You free-based.
Yeah, I free-based cocaine.
But that's kind of like crack, but not the same. People think it's the same, but it's, I say with all my drug
crack
knowledge.
Smoking methamphetamine?
Crack is smoking crack. Methamphetamine is... No, crack is cocaine.
Okay.
Methamphetamine is just speed. It's just amphetamines.
Now, isn't crack the cooked-down cocaine so that it's just the pure cocaine and then you smoke it in the little pipe?
Yes.
Which kind of is freebasing?
It's I believe it is different from freebasing, because isn't freebasing just...
idea what we're talking about.
Isn't freebasing, though, isn't that just heating the cocaine? That's just smoking crack.
Yeah,
or smoking
I
cocaine,
guess.
In other words. Sure. Smoking cocaine is just free. I think when you cook, I think the thing with crack is they add something. This is like that scene in Office Space where they're trying to like figure out how to launder money.
Someone on the text box says they'll email us how to do it.
Please. Well, here's the thing is Les Moonves is no longer around to, he's no longer looming over the program to tell me you can't do that. It's going to be an FCC fine. I could swear up a storm right now if I wanted to. I think crack is when you add, like, baking soda or something else to it, so you can basically get the same thing but with a smaller amount of cocaine. It's an additive added. Because crack didn't really exist until the 80s, and freebase had been around, I think, for a long time. Like, Richard Pryor set himself on fire, like, years before that.
It was a long time ago, and I didn't actually do any of the preparation. I was just there, and I have to admit I didn't really like it that much.
Could you? You didn't like freebasing cocaine?
I liked it very, very much, and then I didn't like how much I liked it, if that makes sense. Whereas, like, I get that sort of greedy, oh, my God, this is awesome, I want to do it immediately again feeling, and I was like, oh, that's scary. And so then I didn't ever do it again because that was too frightening.
Like, somebody asked George Carlin what cocaine made you feel like, and he said, it makes you feel like doing more cocaine.
Pretty much, yes.
I've told this story before, but I remember being at a party years and years ago. I don't remember where. I might have still been in high school, but I don't think so. I was being at a party where somebody... The reason I disbelieve the story about the guy being forced to smoke crack is because if you know anything about drug users, you know, they're not really into the giving the drugs away unless they're potheads. You know, people who have a big bag of cocaine aren't typically looking for ways to get rid of it, you know, that don't involve being jammed in some part of their body. They kind of keep that to themselves. That's a little bit of a possessive thing that it causes in people. But I remember being at a party one time, and somebody had lines of coke in a mirror or whatever, and they were, you know, I think it was some girl, which made it even it's more inexplicable that I said no. But she's like, you know, do you want some? And it was that thing where, like, the time goes and slows down. And, you know, and it was sort of like, Rick Emerson is at a party, like at a film strip, like... This boy is at a party. He's been offered a line of cocaine. What would you do? And then it just cuts to the kids in the classroom. And what I did is I stared at the cocaine for what seemed like hours. And I remember thinking to myself, that would probably be the best thing I've ever had in my life. And maybe I should stay away from it because I... And then it was, I could see, like in a time-lapse movie, like when they do the life cycle of a rose in science class, and it blooms and blossoms and then dies and decays. I could just see me like Naven Johnson sitting in a gutter just soaking in my own filth. If I did, so I said no because I suspected that it would be awesome. And you are confirming, we can say this now officially, we have the first-hand experimentation to confirm that cocaine, kids, is in fact awesome. This is but awesome, but that's why you shouldn't do it, because right. It's wrong. It's bad. It's Don Taylor.
Now, I have a number of interesting news stories here, but it's also my understanding that we are limited on this particular broadcast with some of our introductions.
It's not just the broadcast. No. It's today. Let's be really clear about this, because let's do one more story here, and then we'll do kind of an impromptu, an ad hoc fact.
Okay.
Ad hoc fact, by the way, is the name that I use when I'm a Vietnamese gangster. We should clarify this right out of the gate, that one of the reasons that we went to a subscription model is because, you know, online broadcasting, it's so difficult to license music. It's so difficult to get the royalty issue taken care of, because the record industry, they put the screws to you in a lot of ways. Online broadcasters have to effectively pay more than double the royalty, relatively speaking, that the regular over-the-air broadcasters do. But it was important to me that we be able to have, like, the... you know, like the Dream Theater and the whatever. I wanted to be able to do that stuff, so that's one of the other reasons we went to a subscription model. So in terms of the watches, in terms of whatever, we're able to use all of that. That is presuming that I had not left the external hard drive at my house today that contains a great number of the watches. I believe, here's what I got today. I got your penis watch, and I got your penis watch. I think I left... The Hick, the Cannibal, the Corpse, the Britney, the Gore, the Religious Nutcase, and let's say, oh yes, all the others sitting at home near my easy chair.
Vigilantly cataloged a fine stack of many of those with little tabs on them so that I can keep them separated and have them all at easy reach.
Let's cut right to the chaser. Do you have a penis watch?
I do have a penis watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is your penis watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
Take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
A South African doctor has been distributing a female condom with teeth during the World Cup to help fight rape, according to CNN.
How do you distribute a condom with your teeth?
Well, the condom itself has teeth.
Oh, I see. Not like, I thought it was a sort of a, like an in-person application kind of a thing.
Dr. Sonnet Ehlers spent 40 years developing the condom called Rape Axe after promising a female rape victim she would do everything she could to help them in her situation.
I'm sorry, Rape Axe?
Yes, it's rape-.
That sounds like something you would use to commit the rape.
Rape-.
Don't make me go to the car and get my rape axe.
Lowercase a, uppercase X, lowercase E.
I'm sorry, I lost you like at the second X or something there.
Anyway, the condom is inserted into the woman like a tampon, and jagged rows of teeth-like hooks line the inside and attach on a man's penis during the act of penetration. Once the penis is lodged into the condom, only a doctor can remove it.
It's like a roach motel for your junk.
She says the rapist will not be able to pass urine or even walk as long as the condom is on his appendage, and if he tries to remove it, it will clasp on even harder.
So this is like the this may sound a little bit daft, but this is like here's your $6.99 at work right now, kids. This thing about the hooked condom that goes in inside of a vagina and hooks itself onto a penis.
Uh-huh.
This is just like that part in Where the Red Fern Grows, where. The kid who's the kid that is the hero of Where the Red Fern Grows?
I don't know.
You have no idea where I'm going. You don't know where I'm going with this, do you?
I don't know where you're going with this.
See, I almost want to make this like one of those barroom games you play in a computer where it gradually uncovers the picture of the naked woman if you get a full house or whatever, and you have to try to guess with the picture, or like in Wheel of Fortune where you're guessing the word. I almost want to see how many details it takes for you to figure out you know, the comparison that I'm about to make. Have you read Where the Red Fern Grows?
I don't think I ever actually have. All I know about it, isn't that like the kid's like dog dies, they bury the
dog?
Kid's
dog always dies.
And a fern grows where the dog's buried?
Yeah.
Is that where the title comes from?
Yes.
That's all I know about
it. Well, that's the dog always dies. Everything they make you read in high school ends with somebody dying, often being killed by somebody else after touching Candy's hair because it was so pretty. In Where the Red Fern Grows, the kid whose name I forget, but please don't call or email about it. Please, for the love of God, I beg you. I beg you don't call about it. But he has these two coonhounds, they are called, these dogs that he uses to catch raccoons. But the deal is that he has to train them. And to train them, you need a raccoon pelt. And it's sort of like priming the pump. You need something. You need a pelt to teach the dogs what it is they're supposed to be hunting. I don't know why I remember this. But the way that the kid catches the... But, of course, it's that whole... It's a whole catch-22. But, Granddad, how am I going to catch a raccoon to train them if I can't get them to catch a raccoon because they're not trained? Whatever am I to do? It is a conundrum. And so the grandfather teaches the kid in Where the Red Fern Grows, and it's a long way to work back from here to rape, I know. But the grandfather teaches the kid the way that you catch a raccoon is that you drive two nails down into a knothole of a tree, and the nails are angled in, and then you put like a shiny object inside. And then the raccoon can't get out. You know, it sticks its hand in and it's caught. And then you club it. And then, hey, a pelt.
And they had you read this story,
of course,
in school.
Yes, for knowledge.
About raccoon and clubbing and dog death.
Well, it was a simpler time. It was... I don't know. I went to school. I sat down. They gave me a book. They said, read the book and you can leave in 18 years or whatever. And I said, okay. And the alternative was going home and watching my father get drunk and try to make pancakes. So, you know.
And then ostensibly you had to take a test about this later. It's like, what device did the grandpa tell the kid to use to kill the raccoon?
How did they kill the raccoon? Was it A, a tasing, B, an anal probe, C, a pointy thing inside a tree followed by a clubbing, D, all of the above in varying orders? But the deal is that raccoon would get his paw caught, and then you club the raccoon, and then you got the thing. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. What was my point here? But that's very much like the rape condom. There's that court noise that keeps playing over and over again in the background for no reason. I couldn't shut that off last night. It kept looping, even as we were trying to rehearse, like, the news or something, and in the background all night, it was...
Yeah.
It was just that for
no
reason.
That was unpleasant.
All right, let's do...
Anyway, the condom, the woman who created the condom, she's the mother of two daughters. She planned to distribute 30,000 of them for free under supervision at the World Cup. Afterwards, they'll be available for about $2.80 a piece. South Africa has one of the highest rape rates in the world, with a 2009 report finding that 28% of men in South Africa have raped a woman or a girl.
Don't they have HIV infection rate that's off the charts?
If men are just running around
raping
people willy nilly,
but I'm saying leaving the rape issue out of it,
okay.
Leaving the rape aside, it doesn't. I mean, I know it's not that you're talking about South Africa as opposed to the whole continent, but I mean, doesn't Africa as a continent, isn't it something like some staggering HIV infection? You know, on the continent in general. Am I wrong about that? That seems like a thing that's true.
I couldn't say one way or the other.
Not that there's ever a good time to be raping kids. I'm just saying that seems like, you know, it seems like of the continents where the male populace would perhaps have an even stronger disincentive to not be raping a lot, it seems, I mean, in other words, if the idea that, you know, there's a pretty good chance that, you know, you're dealing with like an HIV infection, if that is not a deterrent, it seems like maybe the... And also, it'll sting your junk. That's probably not good.
I don't think there's a whole lot of logical thought.
No, that's true. They probably don't go through it like on a step-by-step basis.
Yeah, I would rape someone today, except, well, let me run down the cons. Yeah, I don't think that...
That's not Dawn Taylor, by the way, saying that she was going to rape someone today. That she's speaking as though she were this... Okay, there you go. That's your... That's your penis watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Radio.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Right. Right before we get to the fact, there was this sort of awkward thing I was about to do. I was about to ask Greg. I got to break this habit. I was about to ask Greg just because, you know, because he's in the kitchen. I was about to ask Greg to summon. It was going to be horrible on two levels. I was going to ask Greg to summon someone for me. But, you know, A, I can't really order Greg around. And if I was going to do so, having him summon people for me is probably not. That's a little gauche at this point. So we recorded an interview with our friend Thomas Gill, who went to a great amount of effort to help us get the setup and rolling today. And I have that. But that being said, now that we know that the phone actually is sort of working, because there was some question about whether there was going to be, if the phone was going to be all sketchy. And so just to be on the safe side, we recorded a little phoner with Thomas this morning, but well, I think we might actually endeavor to do that live here in a bit, now that we know things are functioning. So I might drop him an email or some such in a second. I know that there's a way to call out on this thing. I just haven't quite sussed that out yet. So we'll get to that. Also coming up before the bottom of the hour, we have the inaugural installment of a brand new segment on the Rick Emerson Show. It is the Rick Emerson Show's Pop Culture Authority. We'll be getting to that. I've also got this top five that doesn't make any sense to me at all. It was, I think, the top five that we were supposed to do on the day that we got, like on the day after we got fired. We got fired on a Thursday. And I think I had assembled a top five for Friday. And so as a result, I obviously never got to do it. But I was looking at it, and I cannot, but I lost the run sheet. Like, I think I just, in a fit of pique, just screw you all, and just like shredded everything. And so, but I am hoisted by my own petard now, because I'm looking at this top five, and it doesn't make any sense. I have no idea what the unifying theme is. I don't know what it's about.
But you're going to share it anyway, and we're just going to try and work it out as we go along.
It'll be amusing when I do it later, Don. It doesn't sound funny now. It sounds like a thing you wouldn't pay $6.99 for. I know, admittedly. But
32 cents. It sounds like it's more than worth 32 cents.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's it really is worth 35.
You have to take quality on a show-by-show basis, I think.
I don't think you have any choice. I think you're kind of forced to. Before we get into that, and before we do the Pop Culture Authority, before we talk to Thomas, before I even attempt to do this top five, just a little bit of backup. And this is the sort of thing that maybe another more competent program would do at the beginning, but we are not that show. So I am here alongside Don Taylor, and if you are wondering why Don Taylor's voice sounds familiar, if you're wondering exactly who she is, who is this Don Taylor, this interloper from the East who has assumed the news desk? Don Taylor was one of the fine folks who rotated through and filled in for Tim Riley when he was laid off at the end of 2008. We had a lot of fine folks help us out with that. We had Todd Tulsis and Dave Schmidtke, and we had from Air America, her name is escaping me now. It's Heidi Tauber was in, Byron Beck. We had a lot of people come in and, you know, sort of cycle through, and Don has always had a real, you've been a real click with the show, a real match for the show. Tim Riley himself actually said, Don will be a tremendous breath of fresh air for the program. Best of luck to you both. That was right after I said, so I'm doing the show, and he said, I am finished with radio. To hell with that.
And then you said, who's the first person who'll answer the phone? Don Taylor.
Who's home today, Tim? I think Don Taylor's home. But Don has been a part of the show's extended family for a long time, and I'm not going to say that. Somebody says, why Don? And I say, well, why not Don?
Who says that?
You know, no one. Me.
Who's saying that?
The same people that say Obama's a terrorist. You know, some people say
those people.
That Obama's a terrorist. But we have a lot of folks who are part of the show extended family, and a lot of people who are really, really good. And Don has agreed to come on and to be the other thing. I'm the one thing, and then Don's the other thing. Somebody asked why Greg was here, if he was just around. This email says, is Greg just there so you can make him fetch you things? If so, I heartily approve. I'm glad you approve, sir, and maybe we'll platform to that level at some point. Greg and Sarah, so Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler, who were the producer and production assistant, respectively, on the last version of the show. So we are sharing a studio with those guys. So Fun Employment Radio, which is the show that Greg and Sarah started almost immediately after everything went bad back in October. Fun Employment Radio has been going strong, and it's got its own fan base, and they've got traction, and they're making a little making that dollar, as the urban youth sometimes say. But at the same time, they were all right. I hate to be this. Greg, can you come in for a second when you get this? When you hear my voice emanating from your laptop, if you're around, if you can come in. That would be that'd be fantastic, because I don't really want to describe the hovel that is Greg's home studio in a way that might be offensive. So we'll have Greg come in and give us the word on that. Greg Nibbler joining us now in the
Rick Emerson Show studio.
Hello, Greg Nibbler. How are you?
Convenient.
I don't want to give offense, but the home studio where you and Sarah have been doing Fun Employment Radio for quite some time it's got its own lived-in sort of feel.
Yes, it's quaint. It's got its own it's got its own feel. That is a correct statement. It's quirky.
When if you had to estimate the last time that it was cleaned thoroughly, when would that be?
See, I bought the house about 5 years ago, so I would guess about then.
Is that the room where your lovely wife Katie just sort of let you?
Because that is the room. Yeah.
Is that every husband knows this, where the woman says, "Okay, now," and they always position it like it's really great, like it's like you're being privileged to go, and you're gonna get this whole room in here that's 3x5 to do whatever you want. You can put all your Kiss dolls up on the wall, and no one will take them away from you.
That is pretty much it. Yeah. Yes, that is why there's autographed pictures of Mr. T, which I did bring down here though.
Oh no, that's let me just say that the first two decorations that came into the studio were the autographed picture of Mr. T, and then at Office Liquidators for $6, less than the cost of a subscription to the Rick Emerson show. Actually, I found, I swear to God, I'm not making this up, still in the box, in a pile with 30 of its unopened brethren, this talking Dennis Miller doll. Wait for it.
Yeah, that's it, Chacha. You found the button, vertebrae 4. Now press it and move away from the doll. What are you, a chiropractor?
Once again, the talking Dennis Miller doll. So there you go. Wait, let's just one more here.
Oh.
It's almost hard to believe that these weren't big movers at Office Liquidators.
Hey, you know Kim Jong-il in North Korea must be a bad guy, because you usually don't get to lead up a country when you look that freaky. What's with the hair? He's like a Chia dictator.
He gets paid for that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, he gets paid
$6 for that doll. That doll from the Talking Presidents line of speaking action figures. So your home studio has a bit of an interesting rugged charm.
Yes.
But
yes.
You and Sarah decided that perhaps it was time to go for a different feel in terms of your place of broadcast.
It was time to upgrade. And yeah, when you were talking about the milk packing district, which is where we are at right now.
Yes.
It sounded like a great idea. So yes, we are sharing. We still need to come up with a name
for the studio.
For this studio, yeah.
Well, I was
hoping
to sell that to the highest bidder.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if anybody would like to be that highest bidder, you can contact us at rick@rickemerson.com. Otherwise, I'm all for naming it whatever it is the people decide.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to get Sarah involved in this too. But,
So this coming Friday around 1:30 or so, so Greg and Sarah will be joining us. And again, I'll put the invite out to Tim Riley. And if he is feeling benevolent, he may send us like a parchment that's sort of wrapped in red ribbon that just said no. we could just read with a seal and wax on the outside of it. And so forth. What is coming up in the next installment of Fun Employment Radio, Greg?
Let's see. Well, we have Mr. Aaron Duran is going to be joining us over here later. His first trip to the new studio. So we'll have that. We'll have some new ball talk, including gentlemen wearing pierogi costumes getting fired and angry French people, and then whatever Sarah's got as far as the world of crazy.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you summon people for me or to get me a beverage. That
yes.
I shouldn't have done that.
That's a little deja vu right there.
All right. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Nibbler from Fun Employment Radio. Oh, I just spilled something. No one saw that.
Not at all.
All right. Greg, can you get me a... Oh, I'm a big failure. All right. It's 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964. 6964, if you would like to join us. But so coming up later on in the week, we're going to talk to David Walker, one of our other favorite people. Christy Turnquist from the Oregonian will be joining us. This Friday, Greg Nibbler and Sarah Dillon will be with us as well. And we will probably tomorrow get to this mystery top five. And at some point, and that day may or may not be today, because inexplicably, the show seems to be whipping by, despite the fact that I haven't done this for many weeks. We are sort of hurtling along time-wise. But at some point, we have to get sort of an entire... I don't think Greg's getting me a towel. I thought he was just sort of being like kooky when he giggled and left and said he wasn't going
to
get me a...
No, I don't think he intended to get you a towel of any kind.
Oh, I see. That's how it is. All right. How quickly they forget their roots. That's fine. Rick Emerson's got a long memory. But I think at some point...
I've got some napkins here if you want to.
Are those like wadded up napkins from last night?
No, they just came with the the big ass sandwich. Okay. So
at some point we're gonna have to do an entire recap of the news that I have missed, of the things that happenings and stories and people and celebrities and stuff that I just haven't been able to follow, because you know one of the things about thank you Greg, I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah, there you go.
One of the things about not being on the air is you realize that you have almost no motivation to go do certain things. One of the things that I haven't... the last movie I saw in the theater... I was going to say Avatar, but that's not true. I saw the Runaways movie with Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning. I saw the Runaways movie. Before that, I saw Avatar because it's, you know, it's Cameron and I have like geek devotion or whatever. But before that, I can't remember the last movie I saw in the theater before Avatar. You know why? Because I don't have a, you know, whoever this person might be at the last radio station saying, you have to see the number one movie at the box office. It's what people are going to be talking about. You have to be relatable to men 18 to 24. And so I thought,
I invited you to come see Toy Story 3 with me, and you went, eh.
I was busy here at the studio making sure that everything would work flawlessly for our first broadcast, Dom. So there's going to be an entire raft of things. I only kind of know who Justin Bieber is. Justin Bieber, as I understand it, is sort of a some sort of a Canadian Leif Garrett.
Yes.
Of the modern era, is he a new? Is he sort of like all the Jonas Brothers rolled into one?
Yeah. I don't. I'm old. I don't know any. I don't understand the whole Justin Bieber thing. He's a kid. He sings songs. He posted some of these on YouTube. 10-year-olds fell in love with him. He got a record contract, and now suddenly he's like the best thing in the world.
All right. Excellent.
Everybody loves Justin Bieber. Everyone has Bieber fever.
Please don't say that. And let's not make that a thing that we say on an ongoing basis. All right, straight ahead, we will have another installment of News from the News Installing Place with Don Taylor. We'll also talk to our good friend Thomas Gill and have him give the lowdown on exactly how crazy and frustrated I made him during the 700-week process of getting the studio up and running. So that is all on the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the inaugural installment of a brand new feature on The Rick Emerson Show. This is Rick Emerson's Pop Culture Authority right here on The Rick Emerson Show version 8.0 live at rickemerson.com.
Who was the first person to lol?
From the Emerson News Network, this is Pop Culture Authority.
I'm Don Taylor. The first instance of a computer user typing LOL has been claimed by one Wayne Pearson, a fellow on the internet who says that it originated in the early to mid-1980s. He says that he was chatting on a Canadian bulletin board called Viewline with a friend of his named Sprout, who said something that Pearson found extremely amusing. Deciding that the usual emoticon smiley face, or asterisk, grin, asterisk, couldn't convey the absurdity of cutting loose a high-volume solo guffaw, he typed LOL for laughing out loud. Newcomers, Pearson writes in his online accounting of his creation, took to it quickly, though I always emphasized it was meant to be used only if you truly laughed out loud. A smirk, smile. If I had any idea such a thing would spread, I would have saved the original conversation that led to the acronym's inception. Alas, I don't even recall what was so funny. The Laughing Out Loud acronym, by the way, isn't limited to English usage. In Afghanistan, they type MKM, which is an abbreviation of the phrase Ma Kanda Mikonam, which means I am laughing. In Swedish, it's ASG, short for Asgarv, meaning intense laughter. And the French use MDR, the initials for Mort de Rire, which means dying of laughter, although many of them now use LOL because of its widespread use on the internet. Oh, French people, you surrender so easily.
The final word on the only knowledge that matters. Pop Culture Authority from the Emerson News Network. And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
A British woman who went to a Thai nature resort to conquer her fear of monkeys has been savaged by a pack of macaques.
Oh, damn it. Why do I not have the monkey watch sound today? Because I'm a failure. I know. Thanks. Thank you. You don't need to say it out loud. Hold on a second. Wait, let me do one more good faith try here. Let me just search monkey. No.
No,
I've got
no
nothing.
Monkey.
There's no monkey sound to be had here. I have brought shame on my entire family today. All right. So let's back up for a second.
Okay.
She went to where? To why?
She apparently has an intense phobia when it comes to monkeys. She went to a Thai nature resort that is apparently lousy with the things, attempting to get over her phobia. And she was surrounded by a pack of macaques who sank their teeth into her arms and body. She lost consciousness as they were chewing on her. Many of the primates remained hanging from her limbs as she lay collapsed with blood spurting from a, quote, deep, deep hole in her arm.
That's fantastic. And lest anybody think that they were being, insensitive or something, really, that is the definition of something that is only done. That story is only happening because somebody somewhere decided that we didn't quite have enough news and we were running out of people to make fun of. And so he decided that there will be a woman savaged by macaques for you, Rick Emerson Show. Now, you don't have the monkey fear. You have the clown fear.
I have the clown fear.
So it's like you wouldn't decide just, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to find the nearest clownery and I'm going to cut off all means of escape and exit and I'm going to stay there over an extended weekend.
Well, there was the story that I ran across over the weekend that there is a clown who works for some circus somewhere, and he has decided to become a clownseller and help people get over their phobias of clowns by doing a whole program where you go early to the circus and you'll go backstage and watch the clowns put on their makeup and their outfits and go out into the ring with them. And ostensibly, if you're like around the clowns and you see how the magic happens, you won't be completely freaked out by them.
I don't think that's true. I think that's faulty logic right there. The business of going to the is it like a primate reserve? It's not just macaque things. Is it all?
It said it was a nature resort, so I guess it's probably one of those places where you go and you stay in a nicely appointed hut, and then you get to go out and look at things in the jungle.
Apparently, you don't have to go out and look at them. Apparently, they're capable of finding you.
Yeah.
That's where the attraction comes and presents itself to you in living color, right before it removes many of your organs. Has anybody considered the fact that there just is some sort of global monkey uprising happening? And I know I'm saying the colloquial monkey because I don't really know the difference between the whatever. But it's like the story, the best story of all of these, it was the one that was at San Diego Zoo, where there was the couple that they had their chimp taken away because it was endangering people and it was menacing the neighborhood kids and, you know, making a lot of, like, I'm going to kill you faces. And so they had it taken away and they got it stuck in the chimp got stuck in the San Diego Zoo. And then the family decided that they were going to go celebrate its birthday with it every year because that's a thing that chimps clamor for.
Yeah.
Because
they mark it off on the calendar.
Well, the chimps are not immune to the ravages of vanity. And so there was this, the horrible / wonderful climactic incident came when they were there, and I would just have given anything. I mean, I myself would saw through one of my own arms with a cheese grater or something just to have seen this. I swear to you, I'm not making this up. I wish I could. I'll have to go find the actual story where they had like a squarish card table set up. I'm picturing sort of like a bad, like low rent tea party, but like a card table set up with a cake and then like decorative napkins. And then a bunch of chairs, and then, like, the chimp's former, the husband, one of the owners, sitting at one end of the table with, like, a, one of those noisemakers, and then, like, the hat. And then at the other end, the chimp also with the little conical, the sort of, like, the pointy triangular paper party hat. And I don't know if they tried to give a chimp one of the things as well, but it didn't really matter because the chimp only sat there for, like, I think he made it through, like, the third candle. And once there was the requisite amount of fire, and it all went wonderful. And by the time they, quote, were able to drug the chimp into a stupor and pry him off of the guy who had only wanted to celebrate a birthday, I think he had removed, like, one of the guy's eyes and, like, his nose and his junk. And they always go right for the junk and eyes because they're crafty. That's the thing.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can't...
You go for the soft tissue.
No, that's right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they don't need a bone saw either. All right. Hello. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Sir, madam, is the case, maybe.
Hey, Rick, it's Thomas.
Thomas Gill, hello, how are you, my friend?
Good, how you doing?
I'm fine. I feel like I need a sounder for you. Hold on a second. There we go. And wait for it. And all right. Thomas Gill, he who helped to set up the studio and helped to get things running properly on this end and who really just lent a Herculean effort to the cause of getting this program back on the air. So Thomas Gill joining us now from his engineer's lair in Seattle. How is your day going, sir?
Good so far. I was really concerned when 101, 102, 103, nothing.
I think many people were concerned when like 109 had come and the show was not still on the air. Among those people were my accountant, probably my landlord, probably the state of Oregon, which is looking forward to me no longer being just a big drain suckling at the fiscal teat of everybody else. But we were able to get things. And here's the thing. I know that I'm immediately, and you're not even a radio engineer, and I mean that in a good way. Like, you're not, I mean, you know, you have a much broader field of expertise. So you, radio engineers at least know what they're in for. You become a radio engineer, you get jackass DJs spilling something into the board and then bitching at you about it. You didn't even ask for that, and yet you're still getting it from me. When I say, so what was the deal with the show not being on at 1? And, of course, I realize that there's probably no way to suss it out, because the show, we've been on for like 36 hours with a test feed, and then it's like, it was like a smiting from, you know, from the ghost of Tesla or something. Like, as soon as I said, and we begin now, and then everything just turned off.
Of course. Well, it was probably one of those things going from the recording to the live input that kind of screwed it all up.
Maybe. See, you're saying that because you know that I don't know any better.
Also, I just blame it on the fact the computer probably just stalled.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's stalled like my Uncle Zetzel.
It's one of those things where, like, you know, when you talk to an engineer, like at a radio station typically, you'll explain the problem and he'll say, well, let me know if it happens again. And then they'll just kind of limp on down the hallway, you know, kind of muttering under their breath and angrily chewing on a cigar stub. We should give a little bit of a background on how you came to be involved. So it is now June 21st, the first day of Rick Emerson Show version 8.0, the first day of summer. And it was, honestly, do you have any idea when I first contacted you and said, I'm thinking about doing one of them online radio thingamajigs. How would I do that?
Well, it's funny you ask. I was actually just looking at that, and it looks to be around the 1st of May.
And so the 1st of May, April, May, June, really 6 weeks ago? It doesn't even seem possible that we get this done in 6 weeks. That's insane.
Yeah, it was 1st of May.
Oh, my God. Had I known about the 700,000 near crippling problems that sprang up between then and, like, oh, I don't know, 105 today. However difficult it would have been and however mind-bogglingly frustrating certain elements of it have been, it would have been exponentially more so had it not been for the help of several people. And so I want to give them all a shout-out now, first and foremost, because I really, technically speaking, the lion's share of the work all fell on your shoulders. And our good friend Seamus helped out a lot, too. Seamus, I don't want to diminish his contribution. Seamus helped a great deal. Thomas, though, actually, you took the train down here, actually spent any number of nights in this studio shuttling back and forth, basically, between the DoubleTree and the studio. Every time being confronted, my bee going, what do you mean we need wires? I thought it just worked. Come on! And, you know, and angrily taking up my credit card and saying, fine, just tell me where to buy it. And having, wandering through this building, I think the first night we were in this building, the office manager, the manager of the building of the company downstairs, a charming woman named Donna, who, in fact, has never once referred to you by your name. She doesn't even call you. She doesn't even call you the geek. She just calls you geek. We were trying to get the router set up, and she's taking us up to the rack room or whatever it is where all the, you know, the internet connectivity comes in, the cable. And she's looking for the router. And God bless her, she's a lovely woman. She pronounced router first of all as two different words. And so Thomas is like, well, I'm looking for the router so I know exactly where the Cat 5, blah 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 blah. And we're poking around, and there's like flashlights being used. And Donna says, hey geek. Is this that router you were looking for? And it just sort of went on in that fashion all night. But it has really come together quite. Look, I'll put it this way: I am now speaking to you over a telephone line, onto a broadcast with music, with multiple microphones, that is going to hundreds of people via the World Wide Web at this very moment, and also to a file that'll be posted later to be distributed via the archives for all the subscribers. And all of that stuff didn't exist until, like, a week and a half ago. So that really is the most ringing endorsement of the job you've done here.
Well, thank you. I had a lot of fun getting this all set up. It was a few questions I had when I first started, because I wasn't even sure how we were going to do the broadcast itself. That was a Herculean task to get solved.
With that, and the second problem was, how is Rick Emerson going to pay for this? Will his check bounce? Will Rick Emerson agree to pay me in cash? Would Rick Emerson give me a hot oil massage in lieu of financial remuneration? Have you ever put together anything like this?
Not to this scale, no. I mean, shortly after you got fired from KUFO, I started up a little bit of a broadcast from an extra computer I had at home that was just broadcasting your archives and later Geek in the City and Fun Employment Radio, just to kind of have a little fun with it and keep people entertained. And here you are with a full-blown income-producing radio station that's actually owned and controlled by the people, not unlike a Winco.
That's yes. All right. Well done, sir. Fantastic.
And we are surrounded by giant boxes of cereal and 3-pound cans of tuna. So it is appropriate.
And then also on this show, there's one tiny, tiny little segment that just says Mexican. All right. Excellent. For all of this, and look, I'm no fool. I realize that your job is probably not over because there's going to be things that go wonky at some point in the future. But for getting us from zero to this point, with really just like bailing wire and string and whatever shekels I was able to kind of scrape together, when my wife wasn't looking, look over there, and just taking $10 out of her purse. Thank you so much for working to get this up and running. It really has not gone unnoticed, and it is appreciated by myself, by Don certainly, and by everybody who is listening. So thank you for all your help, sir.
Well, it was my pleasure.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Thomas Gill. All right, there you go. That's fantastic. Awesome. There you go. While we're doing thanks, so Don and I should also thank a few other people. And this is the part where you have to help me, because otherwise I will leave somebody out, and then I'm going to get I'll get a snarky email from somebody, and then it's going to be Catholic guilt and flagellation. And we should thank our chief of staff, Cheryl Kanakoa, who has, I think probably the only reason she has not made a serious attempt on my life at this point is because she just hasn't gotten enough sleep to have her fine motor skills back yet at this point.
She was looking a little bleary last night when
the three
of us were sitting around here.
The data entry. Realize that every... how do I put this? I have toyed with whether or not... Because people are like, how many subscribers? You're going to get a lot? You're going to get 10? You're going to get 1,000? I really have struggled with whether to talk about specifics in terms of the success we've had with the subscriber base. And I don't know. I don't know. I'm still kind of torn about how to, because first of all, it's changing because we've gotten, the subscriptions have been coming in ever since we went on the air today. I will just say this, that all kidding aside, that really the there is no one anywhere ever at all in any way who thought this would work, who thought this would be successful. Let's have no illusions about that. There is no one anywhere on God's green earth that thought that this would be successful, technically, financially. I think that probably the epitaph for this, it's only the first show, but I think that the fact that we have one show essentially, working, sort of, and that there are, the people who have actually subscribed to listen is, that right there defies like 98% of the predictions that were made about this.
What you and I... sort of concocting this entire thing, sitting over lunches at various McMinimans.
Yeah.
And just going, hey, we can put on a show.
I mean, I wonder if, what if we did it, but what if we tried to at least eat occasionally with some of the revenue? But I will say that no one anywhere thought this would work, but there are a couple exceptions to that. And I think, as we found out, I think the listeners themselves... The listeners themselves thought it would work and thought it was a good idea, and so we are, as always, eternally grateful to them. Cheryl thought it would work. My wife thought it would work, and that may be the end of the list, actually. Hello, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program, sir or madam, as the case may be.
Hello there, it's Bruce Agler calling.
Hello, hey, Bruce Agler, our godlike former program director, or program director emeritus, who is responsible for bringing me to Portland 12 years ago when I was young and had the spark of hope in my eyes. Is it broadcasting where you are, sir?
Wait, what?
Nothing. Don't worry about it. Forget it. I was trying to do two memes in one there. So Bruce saw the studio yesterday when Don and I were still going, and we don't have the, I don't have any sound effects, and I just, where's a pen? Oh, there's no power, and just wondering how it was all going to work today.
Well, it's working fantastic. I wanted to make sure and call before that the program was over to let you guys know what a great job
the program
it is.
Is over.
And,
we make our own law here. I could broadcast till 9 o'clock if I wanted to.
Well, I was going to ask you now, since the show started 17 minutes late, I hope you're going another 17 minutes longer.
Of course. The people have to be given their fair. The people have paid, and they must be recompensed.
Well, technically, we're still in the free segment, aren't we? So
during the window of whatever. Yeah, but I mean, but just in general, like there's the 17, you know, look, if the people lose 17 minutes, they must get 17 minutes back.
They need to be repaid for their faith in us and their attentions and their affection.
Boy, I hate this beeping sound. I wish I could make that stop.
Is that call waiting?
There's a function. It's like one of those things where you press a button and the thing is supposed to stop doing a thing, but it hasn't happened yet. I'll work on it.
So we're going to have to come up with a new name for me, aren't we? I mean, programmer emeritus or former program director I need to know what to say when I call now.
We could just call you the Mike Ovitz of the Rick Emerson Show, if you would like.
Mike Ovitz.
Hopefully, hopefully helping to guide us to even greater and more established financial prosperity as this experiment continues.
Well, it is my pleasure,
Let me ask you this. Now, I hate to put you on the spot here, but I was just talking about how nobody thought this would work, and nobody thought it would be a success, a few voices of dissent notwithstanding. So just without using specifics here, because I'd like to, at least for the time being, be sort of vague, just because I am that guy. But I will say this, and I'll say this very carefully. I'll walk through this step by step. We went on Court and Bobby's show on the 9th, on June 9th, Wednesday, at PDX-FM, where we also do a show from noon to one called Legion of News. We went on at noon, and I said, hey, so I'm doing this thing. It's two shows back to back. The first one is free. The second one, not free. You have to pay. It's 32 cents a day. It's $6.99 a month. Come on. And I was doing my whole, like, my best Mo Green sort of, like, you know, just give me a little, cross my palm with some silver. And, people are entitled to whatever, but some people, you know, thought it would work, and some people that didn't. Within 24 hours, actually, I checked in with Bruce, and one day later, and he said, well, has anybody subscribed? Have you gotten anybody at all? And I said, here's how many people have signed up. And you must now admit that you were actually, I think the clinical term is agog at the...
I think dumbfounded was the word I was looking for.
At the number of people that had, in fact, thought it was worth 32 cents a day.
Yeah, when we all met for the first time, when I met Bruce for the first time, and we were just in the middle of the meeting about the particulars, and at some point, I don't even remember what it was, there was some discussion about subscribers that Bruce was like, oh, well, wow. Yeah.
I didn't think anybody would
That's great. I'm surprised, frankly. I was like, wow, and he's working with us?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know me, I'm always the nattering Nelly. But
The Bruce?
I'm very impressed at the Rick Emerson Army as to how fast they have come out. It's not that I didn't think that it would happen. It would, what my negativity was, that it would happen as fast as it did with as little information out there.
Well, it's... I don't know. I should say something pithy now, but it's just look, it's not like, you know, it's not like I'm gonna have to, like, go open a Swiss bank account or something right away. So it's not like we're patting ourselves on the back too heartily. But I mean, for getting to this point, I will say that Thomas Gill, I was talking to him about this the other night, and he said something that he said, you know, it really is. I'll just say what he said. Thomas Gill said, he said this would never happen with any other audience. And I don't know that that's true. I mean, I can't say it definitively, but I got to say, in my experience, and I'm not just waxing everybody's car, in my experience, I don't think that I have never seen anything like the devotion that this audience has to the show and the loyalty that the audience has had. And so certainly without this audience, we wouldn't be here right now, and we wouldn't be able to. Because we always say that 32 cents a day, if you want to view it, Don said that it's, you know, a way of paying to not hear commercials, if you want to look at it that way. And the other thing is, you know, that 32 cents a day, you're paying 32 cents a day to put the show beyond the reach of consultants and format changes and corporate sales and some guy in a glass office building somewhere saying, you need to play more Shinedown and also Nickelback. Do you love, everybody loves Nickelback, play more Nickelback. and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Kings of Leon nonstop. That's your show. By paying 32 cents a day, you are hopefully forestalling that from ever again intruding on the program. And it really is all about the audience.
Well, if I can only second and third and fourth and fifth that, because, again, it's not that I didn't think we would make it to this point, and I think we'll make it well beyond this, but the fact that they responded as quickly as they did. At the same time, I do want to put out the word to all of those who have already signed up. You guys are the first responders, and undoubtedly there's probably five people for every one of you who haven't yet even heard about this or scratch their heads long enough to think about doing it. And so, we do need help in getting the word out there.
I feel like I'd have a bank of ringing telephones behind me, be waving a canvas tote bag. Go, as you know, Red Dwarf is always just on the verge of cancellation unless you contribute now.
And I'm sure we could come up with a canvas tote bag if that's what it takes. So, we would like everybody to help us get the word out there and keep this going for everyone who used to be a listener of the show. I mean, it's now available, and you guys have already made it possible that this is going to last for a while. So now it's necessary to get the word out there to all the rest of them who haven't even heard about it yet.
This is fantastic. It's like there's the good cop, the bad cop, and then Bruce is the money cop, where he just says, because you know what it is, like you're like the financial enforcer, where Bruce comes by and he goes, nice radio show you have here. Be a shame if something would have happened to it, huh? Hey, give me a little 32 cents. You can, by the way, if you find out that somebody was a fan of the show before, they were a listener, they don't know about it, they don't know about the description, you send them to rickemerson.com, and they can do all that stuff right there. And, we do have the option, they can they do it for a year. It's a discount. And this is awesome, if you subscribe for a year, and that's between you and your God, but if you subscribe for a year, it actually does end up being $6.66 a month, which was not intentional.
Really?
That is not intentional. I swear to God, somebody discovered that. It's $6.66 a month if you subscribe for a year.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And someone in the text box
says, we're going to come up with a premium for those who subscribe for a year, by the way.
Well, someone on the text box says, I would pay any amount for a tote bag.
Okay, that's a verbal contract. I'm going to, my people will be in touch, sir. All right. Bruce Agler, ladies and gentlemen, we will have to come up with a new title for you.
I think so.
I'll put the people on it.
Grant,
all right.
Grant,
something
Bob.
Better than the Michael Ovitz of the show.
Yeah, no, that just means you're unemployed. All right, there you go. Bruce Agler, ladies and gentlemen. All right, thank you. That's Bruce Agler. By the way, if you would like to call us, it's 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964. And sort of what I realize now is sort of, Stern-like, that we really don't have a hard stop time here. We can just run this. I can talk until I pass out from exhaustion, and until my hydration is at an end and I'm just a pile of dust like Walter Jameson.
As long as Greg is willing to keep bringing you beverages.
That's right. Greg, get me a hot towel. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Who might this be?
Hello. I'm sorry, what was that?
Hello, hi, you're
the
on
Rick
the
Emerson Show?
You're on the radio, sir.
Hello, good sir. Mr. Emerson, Ms. Taylor, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to grovel at your feet and throw you my $7 a month, because it is so worth it. So
that advertisers, he's thanking me for the chance to give up $7. I'm looking at you, everybody who is not advertising. What is your name, sir?
My name's Dave.
Dave, where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from the lovely city of Camas.
Camas. Hey, let me
Washington.
Ask
you,
how's it smell today?
Is there a known smell problem? Is there an olfactory issue in Camas?
Oh, there's a known smell
to
Camas,
mill places.
Yes.
They don't have a paper mill there, do they?
If you get too close to the toilet paper factory,
Let me ask you this. Camas reminds me of that city. What is that place? Is it Kalama or Kalama? What is that city in Oregon? It starts with a K. Is it Kalama? I think it's Kalama.
I agree with you. Whatever you say, you're the smart one.
All right, there you go. I could put that in writing and have it, put that on a plaque, and I'm going to carry it around with me.
You get to decide how an entire town is pronounced.
That's right.
I'm cool with that, and I think all of your listeners are, as a matter of fact.
From now on, Portland is pronounced Quetzalcoatl. Let me ask you this: Have you been? How did you discover not this version of the show, but how did you discover the Rick Emerson Show in general, sir?
Oh, way back when, it's one of those things when there was not a damn thing on the radio, and so you start flipping channels, and then there's this beautiful, glorious light that lights up in your vehicle, and you say, that is a man I want to listen to.
You say, is my manifold on fire? All right. Well, I appreciate it. You spread the word, and you call us, email us anytime, and stay tuned for more developments and happenings, including, I'll put it this way. Don and I are going to wait to make the next announcement because we don't want to... Greg and Sarah have got a live event coming up. Greg and Sarah have got a listener party that's coming up this Saturday, actually, at the Hawthorne Theater, and we'll talk to them about that on Friday. So, you know, I don't want to, as they say in the journalism world, Bigfoot anybody. But Greg and Sarah have got a listener party coming up this Saturday. I'm going to be there. Don's going to be there. It's going to be a good time. And then once that's done and once that's in the books, Don and I have an announcement that we'll be making at some point in the very near future about the about a live event of our own. So be listening for that and spread the word. And really, honestly, thank you, all kidding aside, for supporting the show, especially early on when, I mean, for this past couple weeks, you know, ever since we opened up the subscriptions, I realized we were, by definition, asking people to pay for something that did not exist. It was like paying for something that might theoretically exist, like, in the future. So it means it never is taken for granted that you do that, sir.
You know, we'll be listening with bated breath, and God bless, and thank you so very much.
Thank you, my
friend. I'm so happy you're back.
Thank you. All right, there you go. There's that guy, David. All right, it's 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964, if you would like to contact us. And there we go. I don't even know what this area code is. Hello, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Who might this be? Hello.
Rick, it's Seamus.
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 I need a sound
effect. How's it going?
I need a sound effect for whenever, like, a sort of, you know, like a notable, you know, like a luminary or a dignitary or something. Wait, hold on.
VIP sound.
Hold on.
Ugh.
No, that's not it. I wish I could figure out why that was just looping in the background all night. Don and I were trying to do a news run-through last night, and, you know, Don is saying, you know, meanwhile, authorities say the body was found in pieces. Relatives were horrified. They were notified the grieving widow was taken away as a priest attempted to comfort her to no avail, having to explain that her husband had been skinned and made into a sofa. And meanwhile, the whole time court is just sort of reaching some moment of fulfillment in the background there. I don't know why. Seamus, in Colorado, how are you, sir?
I'm all right.
I'm
sorry. Everything's going good. I'm surprised that you've got everything working and you got Skype up and working. You're taking phone calls.
It really
seemed impossible a couple of months ago.
Here's the thing, and I almost hate to say it, but Don, I think, can we speak for everybody here when I say that I didn't think any of this was going to work? I sort of felt like now granted, we pushed the button at 1 o'clock, and there was like 15 minutes where I couldn't. I found out that I just had to, let's all say it together. What do you have to do? When in doubt, restart the computer. That's what I was like, I kept pressing all these buttons. I just had to, like, what the guy at tech support would have said, sir, have you restarted your computer? Please do that now. Unplug it. Do a hard reboot. And once I did that, it was fine.
Well, as we were leaving our day of work yesterday, and I was walking to my car, Cheryl and I were leaving, and you were going to stay, Mr. Emerson. And as we're leaving, Rick's final words to me last night as I'm walking away, he goes, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? You'll just be shamed personally and publicly, and we'll all be ruined financially.
It's awesome, really, the potential
team.
Downside. But that only happened for 15 minutes, and then the ship righted itself. We should say, we were talking to Thomas Gill earlier, and the other person, technically speaking, that really helped us put this together is on the phone right now, Seamus, and a lot of you guys know him from Facebook, and he's really the one of the hardest of the hardcore, as they say, one of our true P1s, and has been a friend of the show for years and years and years, through at least four versions, I think, that I can think of.
Although he did drop me as a Facebook friend and never re-added me.
Really?
Really.
Is this, did you offend him in some way?
I must have.
Did Don offend you in some way, Seamus?
Well, you know, Rick actually mentioned to me that you seemed a bit neurotic about the fact that you thought that I dropped you on purpose. And I mentioned, you know, I was cleaning up, accidentally dropped Don, didn't even realize it until you mentioned it. Mm-hmm. But then something about it, some evil part of me has just been like, I wonder how long I can keep pushing her buttons by not adding her back.
I wonder if I can fill her with trauma. Yeah, she had a whole weird, like, neurosis, and by the way, there's no reason to believe that that's past tense only.
Yeah.
Neurosis going about the fact that there was a dropping of the friendship.
Yeah, every once in a while it comes up, and I'm just like, yeah, he still hasn't added me back.
Yeah.
Still hasn't added me back.
That's awesome. Yeah. When was it, this sounds like I'm doing my own This Is Your Life, but when was it that I contacted you and said, hey, so I'm kind of working on this online thing, which for the longest time, I mean, literally until the moment we went on Court and Bobby's show, which was the 9th, and the people who've worked with me for a long time, people who know me, know that I can get real, I don't know, this may be a shock, but I can be a little difficult to deal with sometimes because I can sometimes be irascible or demanding or anal retentive or insensitive. And
really?
I know that that is, the odds makers are taking a beating as I say that out loud, but I was just drilling it into everybody. I'm like, don't say anything about it. Keep it a secret. Don't reveal it. Because I was so not wanting to tempt fate until we knew. You know, I wanted to delay the announcement until basically I couldn't, until I was forced to announce it. So certain was I that something was going to go wrong. When did I contact you and tell you that I wanted to do something like this?
Well, I mean, I know that I've been mentioning it to you, trying to plant the seed for a couple of years to do this. But you contacted me maybe 3 months ago with just a real quick sort of, what can you tell me about podcasting? What do you know about, you know, getting into this? To which I just kind of threw a whole bunch of information at you. And it was probably about 6 weeks ago or so that, you actually brought it up that, hey, this is something I'm going to be doing. Here's what I want to do. You know, can you help me do it? So since it was more than just an idea in the air, it's probably been 6 or 8 weeks.
And just the number of problems and issues and whatever that I had no way of anticipating. I mean, I'm not going to say that if I knew it in advance, I wouldn't have done it. I would have still. But I think it is probably, as sometimes you'll hear people say, I am glad, actually, that I did not know how many issues. It is amazing, actually, that anybody is able to get on the air with an online broadcast and even have it work for 5 minutes. This is just so unbelievably complex in so many ways. So, but you and Thomas, to your credit, I mean, you answered even the most retarded, infantile, minutia-based questions from me at 3 in the morning, many of them with subject lines like, it is urgent, most important question ever, you know, and then it was like, how do I plug something in? But you guys really, technically speaking, made this happen. So we are in your debt, and I know that the listeners owe you a round of whatever it is you drink, like, forever.
Well, you know, I went into this not knowing a whole lot more than you did. I mean, you know, Thomas is the one with real experience here, and he has a more broader scope of knowledge. I mean, you know, what I do, you know, my day job is very, very kind of obscure and specific tech stuff. I have zero experience with, you know, streaming and podcasts and internet stuff. So I was learning a lot of it with you and just kind of throwing in some common sense stuff from my own experience and other areas and relying on Thomas to kind of say, yeah, that's right. Or, you know, no, that's really stupid. What are you talking about?
You're a fool.
You know, so he's the one who really pulled it together and made it work.
And Thomas did write in on the text box just a couple of minutes ago, just simply saying, I am tech support. So.
It really is. I mean, and the thing is, both of you guys don't ever seem to sleep. I would send, you know, one or both of you, and often Thomas, like an email at like 4:30 in the morning, be like, I don't know, it's saying something about there's an IP conflict. Dude, look, this has to work, because otherwise I have to kill myself. And I would get like a thing back in 32 seconds that said, you know, with like an iPhone signature file. And it was just like Thomas is like ultra cool, ultra to the point response. He goes, well, the problem is you've got the blue cable plugged in where the red cable needs to go. So you want to take that out, wait 10 seconds, and then reverse them, put them in, and it'll work fine. Thanks, Thomas. Bye, iPhone. You know, and that was it was fine, and it always worked every time. So anyway, it's you guys have really, really made this happen. So you everybody out there, you see Seamus or Thomas online, give them a hearty The Rick Emerson Show salute you, won't you please? Because without them, they're I always say without you, there is no us. And literally today, without them. You know, and all y'all, but specifically today, those guys. Without them, there is no us. So my hat is off to you, sir.
Well, to be fair, I really can't take much credit.
Just
for that.
Take the credit. Hog the credit. I just
sat on this side answering some random questions as they came up on your end. I mean, I didn't do any physical work. I just, you know,
random questions like how do I?
And that was about it.
It was random questions like how do I do this? Please answer as completely as possible. Show your work. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Seamus, you can find him online on Facebook and many, many other parts of the Intratron. I'm sure we will speak again, sir. And the next time you're in town, because you were here a few weeks ago, you got to come by the studio.
Yeah, I definitely will.
All right.
I'll see you again.
There you go. Thank you. That is our good friend Seamus, ladies and gentlefolk. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Dawn, have you more news for the people?
I do indeed.
All right, excellent. We already played the Pop Culture Authority, The Lull, and that's actually the only one I have put together. But tomorrow's Pop Culture Authority will tackle, how do I put this? It'll tackle a famous work of literary incest. There you go. Let's do one more here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Who's this?
Rick, it's George in Wilsonville.
George in Wilsonville. Hello and good afternoon to you, sir.
I just want to thank you so much for making the show possible again, because all my relatives want to send their deepest thanks, because the grooves of my brain were beginning to wither away, and I had a very smooth brain and atrophying. So
yes,
now that you're back, I will be re-stimulated.
Yes, groove in the heart, good. Groove in the brain, bad.
Yes, groove in the brain, actually good, yes. And as you know, I had questions like, where are Jim Jones' sunglasses right now? I couldn't ask anybody. I couldn't call the show. And
hold on, are you just saying that because you know that now it's going to obsess me?
What's that?
Are you just saying it because you know that now I have to find out where Jim Jones' sunglasses
are? Yeah, I mean, like, he died with his sunglasses on, those spooky sunglasses that he had.
Okay,
who got those?
Don, let's put that on a future Pop Culture Authority. Jim Jones' sunglasses?
Jim Jones?
Yes.
Because Pop Culture Authority is all about answering pop culture questions, such as, is a single Pop-Tart, in fact, called a Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, I've been worrying about that for months and haven't had a chance to reach out to you. So thank you, and I'm just so proud of my fellow Oregonians and people all over the world who have subscribed.
Excellent.
And to all those radio execs, let's give them a Brit Six right across their posterior.
Well done. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank
there you go.
Bye-bye.
That's George. I have to get the sound bank adequately armed here because I have the right across his posterior thing, but it's just it's not handy. All I've got is a...
The booby doctor is in.
That's it. And that doesn't really... That's it. That's... Oh, I'm sorry. Let's do one more here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. At some point, Sarah and Greg are going to storm the studio with pitchforks. Hello, hi. Who might this be?
Hi, it's Ben from Connecticut. How you doing?
Hello, Ben in Connecticut. How is life where you are?
It is excellent now that you are back on the radio.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. How did you discover the program initially?
Well, like 4 or 5 years ago, I was listening to a different podcast called The Mediocre Show, and they were big fans of you.
And so through them, you discovered the online or the radio show online, and then you have stayed with us throughout the ensuing 4 years.
Absolutely.
Excellent. I appreciate that, sir. And really, here's another thing. While we're just busy talking about how great the audience is, which is not a thing that will stop anytime soon, but we should note, today's what, the 21st, right?
Yes.
So we got fired on the 23rd, but how many, let's assume it's the 23rd. How many months is that, Don? So what, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June. That's 8 months.
Yes.
I mean, that's 8 months ago. That's in, don't, no offense, that's insane. I mean, it's, so the idea, when I say that nobody thought this would work, I don't mean that in a Nelson Muntz sort of way, well, maybe a little. I don't mean that in a, like a, you know, in your face sort of a way, but it really is just, it sounds corny when I say this stuff out loud, but it, people who know me and have heard the show know that I mean it, that it, the idea that after 8 months, that people would even remember my name. And I'm not trying to be falsely humble. I'm not fishing for compliments. But it's a busy world. Things move fast, you know? And there's a lot of stuff out there. So the idea that after 8 months, people would A, remember me, or B, remember the show, C, care to listen to it again, and D, go, 32 cents a day. I'll pay that. And then and do it is just, you know, it's just astounding. It's just like in 100 different ways. And then the man from Connecticut fell silent.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm glad I held your attention wrapped, sir. No, I appreciate it, and all I ask is that if you get a chance, if you know somebody who you think might like it, you just just spread the word. But in any event, we appreciate you being out there. We thank you for listening.
I'm telling everyone. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you, my friend. All right, there you go.
So Cheryl Kanakoa, via the text boxes, will say that thankful listeners can buy her a Coke.
Red, that awesome, excellent. We should take a moment to talk about Cheryl. I was going to do that at the the actual wrap up of the show, but I have no idea when that's going to be. So, so we should talk about Cheryl, who on the show I've just I have given her the title of chief of staff, sort of a Leo McGarry sort of a thing. But Cheryl started out as my assistant on Outlook Portland, which is really the only reason. Let's be honest. There's a producer there and a camera guy, and they make the show look good. And she does the actual guest booking and coordinates everything. All I do, I am just, as somebody once said, a talking prop. So I just sit in front of the camera and I go, so, tell me about your latest project here, and then they talk, and then that's it, and then I go home at the end of it, and then they pay me, which is just insane. Which sort of seems to replicate itself, actually, in a lot of different formats. But really, you know, when Cheryl came on board at Outlook Portland, that is the moment that show started getting better. And then I've been working on some other outside projects, about which you will hear more later in the year. And if you saw the online piece in the Willamette, you know a little bit about what I'm talking about. But she's been helping out with that. And then with this as well, I'm trying to find a way. Dawn, you're a woman. The last time I tried
Thank you for noticing, Rick.
The last time I tried to compliment Cheryl, I called her the Peggy to my Don Draper, and which is a thing that apparently is not a compliment, and I was hearing about it for, like, weeks, months afterward. I was going to say, not the Peggy to my Don, I was going to say not the Donna to my Josh. But these all sound like they're secretarial positions, and I don't really be, it's just, there was, I can't quite come up with it, but what I'm trying to say, I almost feel like I should tell you off the air what
maybe
I want
to
say.
Maybe CJ to your Bartlett.
Maybe. Okay, if I tell you off the air, if I turn my mic off for a second and tell you what I'm trying to say in a nicer way,
okay.
Will you promise not to tell her the original phrase?
I promise.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back. Hold on. Hold on. Now, do you see how that would sound offensive if I just said that?
I can see that.
But you know what I mean by that.
Do you remember the cartoon character Adam Ant?
Yes.
She's like Adam Ant.
Well done. So, like, no matter how much I pile on her to do, she just says, okay. And then she goes, and then she just does, and then it gets, and then as Jim Goad once said, and goddammit, the work gets done. She's sort of like John Proctor in The Crucible, you know, where they're putting on the stones and he says, more weight.
Seamus suggests she's the Rahm Emanuel to your Obama.
Well done. Okay. Yeah, there's something there. I can't quite think of it. It'll come to me.
Another listener says, dude, she's the Leo. Don't get hung up on gender.
Okay. No. Okay. Fair enough. All right. So I want to thank Cheryl for putting in insanely long hours and doing sometimes what is not tremendously interesting work, like entering by hand the usernames and passwords for nearly innumerable subscriptions, often three or four times because it would glitch up the first time.
Which, by the way, we had a few people coming in on the text box at the beginning of the show saying, I can't log in, I can't log in. I'm assuming these are people who just subscribed like 5 minutes before the show who don't realize that there's an actual physical person who has to assign them a password and put it into the system and then email them back.
That's worth noting as well, actually, that I'm looking here at the because I get a little notice every time somebody subscribes, you know, just so we and the reason it's not so I can look and go, ha, 32 cents, yeah. It's a little bit that it's basically so, you know, so that we can keep, so people don't fall through the cracks. And just since we have been on the air today, the number, I mean, it's just, and but there's an actual person, her name is Cheryl, who has to sit and enter all that information. And I'm not saying that to, like, tell you not to subscribe. I'm just saying, when you subscribe, there's a little bit of a turnaround time. It's not going to be, like, instant, because there isn't, you know.
Yeah, it's not like...
Not like ENIAC is sitting in a cave doing
that. It's not a robotic Insta program. There's an actual person who gets the information and then says, oh, I will make this for you, and then let you know it's working.
And just real quickly, so a few other thanks. The creator, we've had people compliment us on the Legion of News logo. The Legion of News logo was done by Dawn's friend...
Lee Moyer, who is an excellent graphic designer who is here locally in Portland. But there's brand new versions of the Starstruck comic, and he did all of the new painting and layout for that. He's done everything from posters for Northwest Children's Theater to book covers for people like Kim Newman. He's done Broadway posters and DVD covers. I mean, he's all over the place, and he's just a remarkable graphic designer, and I'm very lucky that he's a friend of mine and was willing to work with us and do this logo.
I should also thank, in addition to Cheryl and Lee, Bridget Harper, who did a lot of the logo work and a lot of the overwhelming majority of the actual web page work of creating the sites and putting them up and maintaining it. She and Cheryl really worked lockstep on that, and Bridget did a lot of that layout and design, and again, a lot of late hours, and she has a real, like, actual day job, and she was still doing that.
And someone else suggests that she is the Dan Aykroyd to your Chevy Chase in Spies Like Us.
Cheryl or Bridget? Cheryl, really?
Cheryl.
Wait,
yes.
Does that mean that I? Which one of us gets it on with Donna Dixon? It's Dan Aykroyd. Damn.
Yeah.
Well. Anyway, I also want to thank, this is not, I want to say last but not least, this is not last, there'll be other people, but I also want to thank our good friend Tim Oakley. Tim Oakley, who is a massively talented artist and graphic designer. We've had him on Outlook Portland. I'm not kidding when I say you may remember his work from such movies as Terminator 4, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Almost Famous, That Thing You Do. And a guy who worked, you know, with Cameron Crowe and Tom Hanks somehow found the time and the patience to create a logo for me and my dumb show thing. So he created the Emerson News Network logo. That is the work of one Mr. Tim Oakley. You may also remember him from, "Hey, I'm on full employment. I'm really drunk." Or not. You know, I don't really know. All right. Let's see. What time is it? Jesus, God, it's 3 o'clock.
By the way, Cheryl is on the text box. She doesn't want to be Dan Aykroyd. She says he's an ogre.
No, I wasn't going to say she was Dan Aykroyd. I was going to say she was Leo McGarry, except for the drinking the Jack, the Johnny Walker Blue, and then passing out in the hotel room. I mean, as far as I know, I'm not really privy to that. So here's what we got, Don. We got a little bit of news still to get to. We've done Pop Culture Authority for today. We're not going to get to the top five till tomorrow. I was tempted.
I say, you know, you could do well.
Yes,
I was. You could knock out the top five, but I guess we could save that.
Well, at some point, I got to figure out what.
I think there's a good bit in this for the top five, though, where you could actually have people text and
tell
call
me
it
what
to,
it's all about.
To guess what it actually
I have
is.
No, I have no idea. I know that I can receive calls on this phone, and I know that there's a way to call out. I just can't quite do it because I wanted to call Greg and ask when he and Sarah are going to need the studio because I don't want to be, you know, even though it's our first day, I don't want to be a studio hog because we're.
Is he still right across the hall?
Yeah, he's. But I wanted to call him. You know, like I wanted to. Hold on a second. Let me just try this. Wait, which one second? Let me try this one more time. All right, just. If only I had his number.
Someone in the text box, for some reason, asked if it's possible that Sarah and Greg are planning to murder you.
I would say not just possible, but likely. I'm going to give this one more try, and then if it doesn't work, I'll actually open the door and speak to them. All right, hold on a second.
Face to face.
Wait, just, and here we go. Oh, my God. It worked. It's alive. Hold on, let's see if they, I hope I'm calling the right number. Is this the party to whom I'm speaking? All right. This is gripping. Listen to a man make a phone call live.
Unemployment Radio. Waiting for our studio.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much. Hello, Greg Nibbler. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good.
So is Sarah on the premises?
Yes, she is.
All right. Exactly. On a scale of 1 to 9, exactly how annoyed would you say she is that we are still on the air?
Oh, I would I'd go about a 4.
Okay, well that's pretty good. I've seen 7 at least. So, all right, we'll clear out of here in just a few, and we'll turn the studio over to you guys.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. There you go. That's Greg. I was waiting for him to say, "Oh, it's no problem." Oh no, stay on as long as you'd like. No.
I have had several questions in the text box as to when the archive will start going up.
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. Actually, that is one of those things that I have no better way to put it. This that just last night. That was being worked on last night, and we just flat ran out of time. I mean, that was the thing. And I'm not trying to play the, you know, the whatever. You know, look how hard I work my fingers to the bottom. I give! you know, I don't want to sound like a Philip Roth creation or something, but...
You people just take and take and take.
That's fine. When I'm dead, I'm buried. You'll be sorry. We were, you know, working on aspects of this, like the phone call thing, actually, as of this morning at, like, 8 a.m., the archive was being worked on last night, is largely completed, but we just flat out ran out of time. So that should be up within the day. The archive of today's Legion of News and today's Rick Emerson show, that'll be up in the near future. I mean, today. And then the archives of like old shows, old material, old video clips, kind of unheard stuff. Some of it you will have seen before. So when you go to the archives, don't go, this is an archive. I've seen all this. How many times can he put up devil horns on the Hawthorne? There's going to be some of the stuff that, you know, you've seen because a lot of people haven't seen it. But as the archives go on every week, we're going to be adding new stuff. And let me put it this way. I got like 5 boxes in my basement of radio crap that's going to be gone through, and that's all going to go in the archive eventually. So the archive will be up. It'll be up hopefully within the next 24 hours. because that's a big part of the subscription. So that will be up, and stuff will be there. But we just got to a point where we just had to cut that short last night because we had to get ready to come on the air and be delayed by 15 minutes by a technical glitch. Bam. So forth. All right. I was going to do a thing, but I think we should probably get ready to wrap this up here.
We probably should.
Okay, so one more time. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Thomas Gill. Thanks, Seamus. I want to thank Cheryl Kanakoa for helping us. Bridget Harper, Lee
Moyer,
as well as Tim Oakley, and I know that I am. Bruce Agler and Sarah and Greg actually for helping us get this studio.
And Cable Hashitani,
who is our esteemed voice actor. If you've been listening to this program today, or if you've been listening perhaps to Legion of News, and you've heard a fantastic voice say
Legion of News.
That's Cable Hashitani, who helped us out with that. So I want to thank Cable. And again, Greg and Sarah, who are not only partners in the studio with us, but we're actually using some of their equipment right now. We're using the mixers and the microphones. That is from Greg and Sarah. And to the person I'm inevitably forgetting, I'm sorry. I feel like a jackass. I don't even know who I've forgotten right now because I'm exhausted. But I probably have forgotten somebody, so Rick Emerson regrets the error. But we'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow at noon. We do want to thank Robert Wagner, actually.
Yes.
We do Legion of News, which is a news show from noon to one on PDX.fm. That is absolutely free for any and all who wish to listen. We want to thank Robert Wagner for giving us a home there, and Court and Bobby for having us on to promote the launch of that show and this show. So our thanks to those guys as well. All right. Make a note of this number. Don't call it now, please. It's 503-505-6964. Call that number tomorrow. Don't forget, we will be live on PDX.fm every weekday starting today, so continuing tomorrow at noon. Noon, Legion of News on PDX.fm. And the Rick Emerson Show will be Monday through Friday right here at 1 o'clock, give or take. If you know somebody who is a fan who has not yet subscribed, please ask them to do so. If you know somebody who's not a fan but would be, please spread the word. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by me, Rick Emerson. Alone, with no one's help. In the newsroom, it is Don Taylor. Our chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa, and a cast of thousands makes this program possible. And one final time before we clock out for today.
Brought to you by people like you.
I was just going to say it brought to you by a generous grant from, I have a liner actually voiced that says, by a generous grant from you. You beat me to the, get out of my head. Step into my joke. But yeah, as we wrap this up, one more time, it sounds like I say it all the time, and I do because it's always true, which is that, without all you guys, not just this time around, but every time we've been fired in the past, without you guys, I really would just be some jag-off on the corner, rattling a tin cup with pencils and saying, let's talk about Pacific Blue. Anyone? And that I am that guy, but in a somewhat professional capacity is solely and only because of you guys. In the early stages of this launch, I had, we had some listeners, some sort of longtime fans who I sat down and I said, look, if I buy you lunch, will you tell me what you honestly think of this insane idea I have? And to those folks, Kara, Todd among them, it meant a lot that everybody is so supportive of this. So we will go out this way. Normally we close out with Little Guns N' Roses, followed by Public Enemy, but we're going to go out with this song today. Appropriate in many ways. Our good friend Thomas suggested this. The Rick Emerson Show, we'll see you tomorrow, 1 o'clock. We'll also see you at noon for Legion of News. In the meantime, in between time, this is a little Jonathan Coulton for you, right here on The Rick Emerson Show, part of the Emerson News Network.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. Then lead on to the people who are still alive. I'm doing science and I'm still alive. I feel fantastic and I'm still alive.
Attention broadcasters in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.